two, three, four.
Turn your lights down, way down low. But turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night there's something new. You never know just.
Once again, March Madness.
It's madness.
Does whatever it wants to do. And we should mention that once again this week, we are coming to you from the studios of WKGC-FM, high atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida.
Say that three times without laughing.
That's the voice of Tom Hoots, who's responsible for setting the studio up for us. This is an FM studio at WKGC.
Right.
And that programming is happening while we're in here. What would be the word for it? Squatting? We're squatters? Is
okay.
that it?
Borrowing the microphones.
If borrowing, the mic.
Borrowing the microphones.
Not breaking anything. Yeah, just, you know, try
it.
Well, thank you. Tom got me a cough button tonight, so all is good in my world. Stop it.
Okay. Hi, kids. Can we start the show with...
We're happy to be here?
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Yes.
And on the count of three, to release all of the tensions from the past week.
Yes. Cover your dog's ears.
Okay. A little... The weekly scream of relief.
I feel so much better.
Okay.
I really do.
And, Ron, are you there?
Yeah, I am. And now I need to take my headset off because that was quite a loud scream there.
I'm sorry about that. I actually turned off away from the microphone for it, too. You should hear it when I'm right in front of the mic.
It sounded almost like Diane Cannon.
Oh, stop it.
It did.
Do not go there, please.
A little bit. It did
please.
A little bit.
And I will... I'm going to be perfectly honest. The reason for that scream was not just all of the headlines that we're dealing with every day, but honestly, because we have very few secrets, we're more than a little bummed out.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, last night, Ron, there was some nasty
activity
in the downtown area in Chicago
with a ridiculous term of teen trends. Which is just
which
blows
makes
my
no
mind.
Sense whatsoever.
Yeah, the takeover.
So that was last night in Chicago.
Not very far from our studios here.
That's right.
In Streeterville.
So tonight, as we're coming into WKGC, we have a number of options. One of the main drags is, and again, it's literally just down the block from our little house. It's what is called Back Beach Road in Panama City Beach. And we've been hearing sirens all day. And we decided, you know, we have the option of not doing Back Beach Road. There's what is called Back Beach Road.
And if you see the pictures I posted, you'll see what we mean. It's kind of isolated over there.
And for some reason, I said, you know, we've got the option. Let's do that. Probably less traffic.
Yes.
Well, good that we did, because had we taken our normal route past Pier Park, which is a major
outdoor
tourist attraction that is roughly a mile from our house, there were shootings.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
There was what appears to be a riot.
Spring break. Woohoo.
Yeah.
Well.
This is, and I know this is not a happy note to start the show on, but I'm mentioning this because, oh boy, is this what the summer is going to be like?
Did you, Ron, when you came into work, did you encounter anything downtown? Because last night was, from the video that we saw, it was just a nightmare.
No, there was nothing like that tonight. And I don't imagine that it doesn't happen two nights in a row. I mean, they have their, you know, it's nice and warm out, which it was yesterday. And they kind of like go crazy for a little bit.
Yeah.
And out of hand, of course. And now they're calling for
a curfew.
A curfew of 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When was the last time you had a curfew of 8 o'clock?
Well, we have a curfew of sorts here at the beach where there's no drinking on the beach. And you can't stay out on the beach all night long.
And that's for some specific beaches.
Yes. But this happened in a very, very populated outdoor shopping center, which is one of the major tourist attractions around here. Three people were shot. And there was just an incredible amount of activity. It's one of those cases when we walked into the studio and we found out what went on. We said, how lucky were we that we didn't go that route, because we'd be sitting in traffic because they had blocked the road. They'd shut everything down. So we're very lucky in that respect. Can I just take you back to the activity that the nonsense that occurred in Chicago last night? Who was responsible for coming up with this term of teen trend?
I don't know. It wasn't me.
Well, that's the goofiest thing.
That makes zero sense.
I said, that's like throwing a marshmallow when you're talking about people who are running around with guns and tasers and knives and stuff. It's like,
it's a gang activity, it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Teen trend. Oh, it's a teen trend. Well, we used to do that in the Awana Club,
I think,
you know,
maybe
for
they,
church.
I think maybe they got, this is just me guessing, they may have gotten it because a lot of the teens do the meetup on social media.
Right,
and
right.
So they're seeing that. They're going, oh, this is where the crowd is. This is where the party is. This is where the wild time is.
So
and,
it becomes a trend
and
to
then,
hop
on. It's trending on social media.
Got
so
it.
I think that would be it. But, yeah, you're right. It doesn't describe what's going on at all.
Can I just say, on a happier note, it's nice to talk to you. It seems like forever since we've had a chance to chat with you.
It has been. Yeah, my old friends. I'm like, this is nice. It's nice. I hope you guys are having a good time down in Florida.
We
looks
are.
Like it. I follow you on
the
Facebook.
Weather, oh my gosh, the weather has been outstanding in the 70s and sunny and just a nice breeze.
And again,
breeze.
We had another afternoon where along with the, in fact, if you go to the Stephen Johnny Show Facebook page, and you will see a video we posted this afternoon.
We had a show planning meeting sitting on our front porch, and the birds were so loud I had to video them because they were so wonderful.
Well, as we called it, it was our porch and pre-show planning tweets, because that's what it was. And you can see the video. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you'll see the video taken from our porch.
Yes.
And hear all of the tweets that were going on. And yes, you can be invited into that tweet group.
That's right. Yes. We invite you all to join that group. Well, we have just a wonderful couple joining us tonight. We first met them here at this studio.
Yep.
And they have been incredibly busy. They are Jack and Jen. And if you are not familiar with their music, you got to stick around.
Stick around.
But if you are familiar with their music, you're going...
Stick around.
Yes, you're going, yay!
There is no excuse to leave.
Jack and Jen are on the show tonight. So far, I have checked. We have 12 states that have tuned in. So people, get with the program. We're on a little bit earlier. We need more states to be listening for Jack and Jen tonight.
And let me very quickly take a look here. I'm taking a look at our blog. And let's see. From our blog, we have so far 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 countries.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
We're checking in on our blog.
Well, I'm impressed. We're going to take a quick break, and we will come right back here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I could be wrong, but I think that means it's time for some of our shout-outs.
Yes, because we're going to have a busy, busy night, and I did not want time to get away from us without shouting out to people like Mary Gold, who is tuning in from Tinley Park tonight, Beverly Ann Goodall, even though it's been a hectic week, she's going to be tuned in. Roger Camp is in Somerville, South Carolina. Nancy Nosek is in South Holland. Chuck Snitchler, the best friend of this here radio station, is tuned in from Hobart, Indiana. Our buddy Bobby Danos out in Sandwich is listening. Sharon Malone is in Kenosha. Jim Smith, thank goodness he's on the northwest side of Chicago.
We're getting out to Chicago.
Yes,
right,
14 golly. States, and thank goodness Chicago's listening. Scott Cooper is in Naperville. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Ryan Corcoran is also in Milwaukee. Actually, he's in Waukesha, enjoying a pizza from a Milwaukee Italian deli. You know what happens when we mention pizza?
Yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning, we'll be eating pizza.
Yep, we will.
Bonnie Pearson is in Grays Lake. Ellen Maria is in Woodstock. Kathy Abnor is Peoria. Sandy McComas is Michigan City, Indiana. Roy Phillips is in Northwest Illinois. Fred Hussar is in Lyons. And Brian Lefevre. Thank you, Brian. He's a great fan. He's in Bridgeport. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Deborah Grace is in Kansas City. You know, a couple of people have mentioned they're listening through Alexa, and I think we're coming up on the date when the whole Alexa thing is going
So you should be spelling that, not saying her name.
That's, never mind. If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll mention a little bit later on because Patrick
and
Crispin.
And you can go to our blog and you can check Patrick's notes and it explains all of it.
Because he gave us a big warning last week about Alexa and how we have to be very careful. If
A-L-E-X-A.
You don't, yes, L-E.
That's why we have separate checkbooks.
I froze. Hey, Eric Baum, he's our great listener in Wells Beach, Maine. He sends a terrific picture, and this week he has a picture of a gorgeous bald eagle sitting up on a telephone
line. Yeah, that's a cool shot.
It's beautiful. Patricia Tintari, hey, Patrice. Stephen Verheeren, Nancy Hollins, let's see, Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru. She's listening. Peter Jekubowicz, getting a bunch of people who are texting. You can text us all the time at 312-981-7200. Bonnie is in Butternut, Wisconsin. Norb and Jan are listening in Indian Rocks Beach, Florida. Jan's in Tinley Park. Let's see. Oh, a listener said, did I hear about Bobby Sherman? Got to talk about that later, too. Paul Cipranowski is in Clearwater, Florida. And Gina's in Lone Tree, Colorado. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. If I missed you, I apologize.
And let me go to the blog for some of the people who are listening in various places on the planet. And why am I not hearing myself now?
we'll read your lips.
You should check out our blog. Go to stephenjohnny.wordpress.com.
Steve's off mic.
Yep, Steve is off mic.
And it says I'm off mic.
I think
that's why I'm not hearing
you. Your cough button got stuck.
No, because I keep pressing the... Okay.
Well, let's just work on.
Do we have any clue why I'm not?
He may have to sit on my lap. You know, this is going to get interesting.
I can hear you.
Breaker 1-9.
He's not going out over the air.
Nope, I'm not.
Oh.
No.
There
is that better?
There you
go. No, it's, there I am.
We don't know what happened.
Okay.
Are there ghosts in this building?
And you know, it's sad that you couldn't hear me because the last minute was some of the best stuff I've ever done. It was broadcast Hall of Fame quality stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What were you saying, honey? Go ahead.
So I want to mention some of the people who check out our blog. Go to stephenjohnny.wordpress.com. And we're hearing from people in the United States, in Pakistan, from Ireland, Sweden, Saudi Arabia, Poland, Japan, Belgium, Finland, and Canada.
How interesting. It's like a different mix every week.
Yeah. So, but
and thank
again,
goodness the U.S. is chiming in every week, too.
If you want to check out our blog, go to stephenjohnny.wordpress.com. And yes, we are slowly segueing away from Facebook. You should check out our WordPress, or rather our Blue Sky page, which is Blue Sky app / profile. Well, just look for Steve and Johnny on Blue Sky,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you'll find us, because where we are.
Can I just quickly mention?
On Blue Sky.
Yes. Cotton the dog is listening to tonight from Willowbrook.
Hey, Cotton.
Probably when I screamed, Cotton went to the other room and is no longer listening to us. That is quite possible. And that other voice you heard chiming in, that's Adam Phillips, who's on the board back at the radio station tonight. Right, Adam?
So, yeah, I'm here.
All right. Thank you. And, of course, we've got Julian back at the radio station. And we're going to take a break.
We will reintroduce you to some wonderful talent from the Panhandle Jack and Jen. That's coming up on WGN.
Mama said, don't go to the water at night. There are creatures there that hanging out of sight with white mouths and toothy grins. These dragons know all about sin. Take you down in a death row.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That was how we first were introduced to Jack and Jen, Eli Ingram and Sandy Marlisa.
We were sitting we were in this studio when we first heard it. We went, whoa. And then come to find out that they are local kids. And we said, got to get to know these people.
And I think this is, your third time back on the show with us, I believe?
I believe so.
I think it's four. We did have a call-in one time.
Oh, that's right.
That's true.
That was fun.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's great to see you guys. You have been so incredibly busy since we last saw you.
Definitely stay busy.
Yes. Well, thank goodness. Right? Thank goodness.
And let's start right off with the blatant plug. As of today, you have a new song out, and you have a new album, and tell people where they can go and how they can get it.
Yes, sir. Pay County Pirates came out today with a music video attached featuring the Sea Dragon and the Pirates of the White Sands and some good friends.
And you know, Eli, you were, in fact, a pirate in your past life. Because nobody on that stage looks more like a pirate than you, my friend.
I agree.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
He did that
It was an absolute dream come true. I'm not going to lie. That was so
fun. So you dropped, as they say in the business, your video today.
Yes.
He did.
And that's on the heels of the release of your new CD.
Yes, ma'am.
And the title of the CD is?
The Island of Light.
Uh-huh. Are we on the Island of Light?
We are.
We are on the Island of Light.
It's a new journey.
Okay.
It's a new adventure.
For people who are new to Jack and Jen, when we call you Sandy, you are the Jen part. When we call you Eli, you're the Jack part,
yes,
right?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And again, the backstory on the name.
Yeah, let's go back to the beginning for our listeners who are just new to meeting you two.
Sure. So we both began our journey, especially after Hurricane Michael, in the bar scene. So my drink of choice was gin, and his drink of choice was Jack. And my friends would have a joke and say, is it gin Sandy tonight, or is it just Sandy tonight? And he said, well, I want a cool name, too. And I said, well, what you drinking? And he said, Jack. And I said, all right, Jack. Well, I guess you got a cool name. There you go. And when we formed our musical duo, it was between Jack and Jen or Lavender Soul.
Lavender Soul.
And I'm very happy that Jack and Jen won. I feel like it fits us a lot better.
I remember saying to you, if you had been Lavender Soul, you'd be all boho.
Yeah.
You know, no shoes on stage.
Exactly.
You know, and playing
definitely
all acoustic.
It went another direction.
And actually, we go deeper into that story in Sandy Marlisa's book called Fire Flurries.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you've got a book coming out this summer, don't you?
I do have a new one. That one will be called Water Wind, and that will follow the journey of Salty South and Island of Light. So I'm very excited about that. June 28th, it's going to come out. So
how do you have time? I mean, you're raising kids. Every time I check you out on Facebook, you are going someplace to perform, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I like the way Sandy goes,
yeah
we got to make time.
You just reminded me.
I'm just a highly productive person. I do that to put a lot of this energy somewhere. I'm very energetic, so it has to go somewhere where it, you know, kind of eats away at you. So I love creating. So, you know, even when I had a full-time job, what I do in my free time is create. So when I get to do it as a full-time job, it's kind of double because I just don't stop. So it's just the way it goes.
So when did you guys start performing as Jack and Jen, as the duo?
Actually, October 10th, 2020.
Oh, you're right. It was a Hurricane Michael relief party.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
It was the anniversary of Hurricane Michael, 3 years, Stronger Than the Storm in Mexico Beach.
Huh.
Yeah, it was a really
interesting day in Mexico Beach. Washed away.
That was ground zero,
yeah.
Yes. So it was I didn't even realize that until we were done.
Right.
And then I thought about it, and I was like, we just played our first show on the anniversary of Hurricane Michael.
And our first song was an original called Hurricane.
Yeah.
So
right.
It was really powerful.
Yeah, so kind of interesting how that works.
Well, Sandy Marlisa, again, when we talk about Sandy, she is the gin part of the group, and Jack is Eli Ingram, and they're going to perform for us tonight, but we want you to check them out. I'm going to put up, is it okay if I share your video tonight on our Facebook page?
We would love that.
And I was just in the process of, I'm going to put a link to your live feed that you're doing right now on Facebook.
Yes, sir. Oh,
got
sir.
Up on Steve and Johnny page.
Did I sign a waiver or anything for that? Of course, the camera's not on my end, so that's fine. Keep it over there. But people get an idea of what the studio is like, too, because this is a big enough studio. In fact, it's bigger than a lot of the FM studios are, because you're sitting at a keyboard, and Eli's sitting on a stool with a guitar, and then we've got this tabletop that we're sitting in with a bunch of chairs around us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, people love to see the behind-the-scenes stuff. I have really just realized that, because you're in it, and you don't really think about how interesting it might be for someone who doesn't have this life to have a sneak peek, and so our listeners really love to see behind the scenes.
And you work so hard on that finished product, sometimes you leave out all the details, and that's what people really love.
Yeah. But do you ever find that you're in Piggly Wiggly or Publix, and somebody goes, I know you. Did I go to school with you?
Aren't you the pirate?
Yeah, no, I do. I get that. I'll be walking. It was Mardi Gras. We were walking in the Mardi Gras parade, and just random people would be like, you're Jack! You're Jen! I'm like, hey, yep, you got us.
Yeah. That's good. You pay for that kind.
Right?
You know, I pay my family to come out and shout out just so we go, hey, wait, everybody seems to know who they are. Yeah. I don't know who they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I will explain for anybody who's looking at the Steve and Johnny Facebook page, and I just put up the link to Jack and Jen. No, Jack is not a left-handed guitar player.
It's flipped.
That's just Facebook's making.
Yeah.
No, he's flipping his guitar. He doesn't really know what to do with it when you do that.
Should we shut up?
We need to take a break before we get behind.
Okay.
We'll take a break. Jack and Gin, and it is just the way it sounds, as in Jack Daniels and Gin and Tonic.
You got
exactly what you think.
And you can click to them, or just stick with us, but later on tonight.
Yeah.
When you want to find out more about them, you can click to them. And by the way, Becca's in the house now. Woohoo!
Hey, Becca.
Becca's with us. Yeah. Girl. Did you have an interesting trip over here, or? You look like you're shell-shocked. Was it a long night at the TV station?
No, it was fine. I just walked in front of their live stream earlier. I'm so sorry, by the way.
Oh, please don't worry about
that. That's all good.
until I pass it.
It adds to it.
That's right. We're a working studio. So
absolutely.
Becca's in the house. Everything's right on this end. We've got some live music coming up, so stay with us here on WGN.
Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. We have Jack and Jen in the studio with us, Eli Ingram and Sandy Marlisa. And I think, why don't we shut up and let them do a little bit of they would like to do.
Okay.
So this is going to be, we haven't had a chance for a mic check, so this is just going to be...
It's kind of like flying.
The mic check will be on the air.
All right, you ready? Here's a little ditty called Shell Island. You might know it if you visited Panama City Beach before.
And if you've ever quit your day job to follow your dreams. Shell Island, I quit my day job, and now I'm starving like an artist. But I'm learning how to love again. I'm learning how to love again, sanding my bed, busking on the beach. If it was up to them, they'd only book us in the streets of Harrison. Music is culture one. New music for everyone. They say because of a sound, we'll never play another gig in this town. It's finally lifting up off the ground. Shell Island, will anything be alright? If I ride and ride all night, tomorrow I might ignite the light it takes to fly. Wing it till we fly. Riots in the sky.
Riots in the sky.
Nobody denies. And it ain't up to them. This is what I see. They tried to bury the light, but there's a light that shines too bright. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. Shell Island, I quit my day job, and now I'm starving like an artist. But I'm learning how to love again. I'm learning how to love again. Shell Island, I quit my day job, and now I'm starving like an artist. But I'm learning how to love again. I'm learning how to love again.
That's fun.
Is that really personal? I mean, I think you did quit your day job.
I was in charge of international business, and things got a little shady, so I grabbed my guitar and went to Shell Island and
kicked off your shoes and hit the beach.
Been going full time since then.
No, there really is a Shell Island, too. That's one of the big tourist attractions.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's one of the big tourist attractions around here. In fact, Sandy, you had an interesting post recently about when you were a kid, and you would get dropped off at Shell Island.
Yes,
And then your dad would come and pick you up at the end of the day.
It was a thing. I don't think anyone would allow that these days, but my dad is an adventurer, so he is actually from Chicago, and he moved down here and ended up being here for 25 years and married a Floridian and had three kids and the whole deal. But he's an adventurer, and he always just wanted to instill independence in his children. So I would just kind of roam, and I loved it. I played with dolphins and ran after crabs. I mean, I was having a blast. I didn't think anything
get
of it.
Sunburned.
You know? Yeah, totally fine. So, I love Shell Island,
And there's not like a restaurant on Shell Island or anything. When you get out
there's
you're...
Nothing.
Oh, there's nothing.
You're on an island, right.
There might be an ice cream truck coming out.
I think he gave me a bottle of water.
That's only because he shouldn't be out there.
He left you with a bottle of water.
Left me with a bottle of water.
And a beach towel.
Not even that, yeah.
You no, there, food, catch your food.
There was. I don't even know if it's there anymore. I haven't been there in like a year. But there was a beach house out there that someone tried to build. And so I grew up playing there. And there's like busted nails and busted windows out there. And they finally made it to where you can't build there because it constantly shifts. Mm-hmm. So with every storm, Shell Island changes. And so you can't build out there. And they finally made that rule. But there was this old beach house there, and we'd go and get in all kinds of situations out there, yeah.
You know, Shell Island, to me, I was thinking about this last night, not Shell Island specifically, but the kind of songs you do. Now, a lot of artists decide to either create songs that they feel will appeal to the mass audience, and I get that. Taylor Swift, for example, does a lot of personal love stuff, and she will integrate that into her songs. You guys do something a little different, and I wonder if it was a conscious choice. A lot of, I would say most of your songs, your original songs, are what I would call geographically centric songs. You're writing songs about this area, about your experiences in this area, certainly personal experiences, but all of it is tied to the panhandle. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can think of would be, well, Jimmy Buffett kind of did that with all of his songs, but was that a conscious decision on your part to not just say, we're going to do June Moon Spoon? No, we're going to write and perform songs that are very relatable to people from this area, and hopefully we will write it in a way that brings people from all over the world into
it. Was a conscious choice, absolutely.
Okay.
Especially with the Salty South album.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Hurricane Michael completely devastated this place,
right?
So when I was, you know, newly divorced, and I really have always wanted a partner, I've always wanted someone to link arms with and build something with. I was very conscious about who I was going to date, because this is a military town, and so they come in and they come out, and I was like, well, I can't leave. I have two children, and I co-parent. I have to stay here, and I'm not going to be bitter about that. I'm going to be excited about that and just recognize I have limitations, but in a way, limitations actually make you free, and for me, I never had to see the whole world to know that what I've got is good. So when Eli came along, and he told me he worked his whole life to get here, I thought,
true story. I used to save my lunch money just to get a trip to Panama City.
Yeah, we could make something work here. So it was a conscious choice, not just in the music, but in my life. And I only can write about my life. I can only write about my personal experiences and what I know is here. And that's what makes it feel real. That's what makes it true, and that's what makes it grounded. I'm a girl from Panama City, and some people don't really think that's magical. I do. I love it here, and I love the people here, even though, you know, sometimes that can get a little crazy, but I love the nature here. I love who we are. I love our culture. We have our own accent, and I have been very passionate about that since I was a young child, but then Hurricane Michael solidified that, because I really saw it then, and I really wanted to tell the world about my people and what we have suffered and what we have rebuilt and who we are. And so, yes, it was a conscious choice. And it's amazing how it is resonating, not just with people from here, but I have had messages saying, you make me want to go. You make me want to go see it.
Right.
I'm like, that's the whole point. We're a tourist town, baby. Come on.
And to me, it's kind of like, you know, find your happy place. You know, like my grandma told me when she was still alive, she said, life is only 10% of how people, you know, treat you. And it's 90% how you react. Mm-hmm. And so with that, you know, you have some people coming at you trying to, you know, make you feel certain ways or anything. But it's 90% how I react. And so when I have a song like Shell Island, or a song that makes me think of, you know, the sea or one of my favorite places, I can just go to my happy place at any time. And it's like a switch. Like if someone's trying, they're trying to get under your skin, and you can be like, nah, Shell Island. Okay, 90% I'm in control.
What about this area made you want to work your whole life to get here? What was the first thing that said, oh, let me take a look at that.
Yeah, great question. I moved around a lot, but home to me was always at the farm in Georgia. My grandparents had a cow farm, and so to me, you know, I grew up with a little pond, and I would fish and I'd catch bass, and to me that was just like the ultimate source of inspiration. And I wrote most of my songs, you know, there. That's where I kind of learned to play. Just a couple friends around a campfire at night, playing around the pond, you know. And then when I first came to Panama City Beach, I remember looking out, standing in the sand and looking out, and I was just like, wow, I can't see the other side. Like, the amount of inspiration that comes from that is endless. I mean, it's not, you know, to me, you know, I come from a swamp. I come from the pond, you know. That's home to me, but when I, you know, and that's inspiring to me. But when I look out there and I can't see the other side, that's actually how we came up with the Island of Light. That's actually the concept.
Oh.
It was a very cloudy day. And the sun was not shining, and there was this one spot where the clouds opened up, and a ray of sunlight came down like God's finger, you know, just pointing at this one spot. And I thought to myself, what animals are, like, attracted to that spot? Like, what do you think is right there? And Sandy was like, you know, what are you talking about? I was like, right there in the Island of Light, you know, and we just kind of came up with it right there because it was this view we had and just all the questions and all the inspiration we had.
Well, so often when I listen to your music, I think, the Board of Tourism should be calling you guys right now and saying, we need that song for our next commercial.
Well, we are looking for sponsors, so yeah. if they're listening, call
us.
We
are always looking to partner with local businesses to create something. So that's what we did with this last one. It was the Sea Dragon, which has been around since the 80s, I believe. I remember the Sea Dragon from when I was growing up.
What was it used for? It's a big ship.
It was actually built here. In these waters, and it was built for the purpose of the tourist industry. The person who owns it is a native, and they're very passionate about the Gulf, and they just wanted to have a family-friendly event for people to come and be a pirate for a day in Panama City. So,
I had no idea, and we've been coming here for 40 years.
That's why we do this kind of stuff.
And we've been to Grand Lagoon. I mean, we're very familiar.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know what we're talking about, during the news, we're going to post a link to the video so you'll see exactly what we're talking about. But it's a beautiful area, and we've never seen the Sea Dragon over there for whatever reason.
Yeah, and they shoot the cannon off at sunset
every
day.
Dolphins will jump all around them as they go through the pass.
Yeah, and it's fun. You can bring your kids, and they have an onboard bar, but the crew watches the kids and does all sorts of activities. So it's like for the adults and the kids. Everyone has a good time.
But the ship is stationary. It doesn't leave.
Oh, it goes.
Does it really?
It goes through the pass. It enters the Gulf.
It does. It's for like a 2 or 3 hour tour. Like
Gilligan's
Island.
Yeah, you can do like a noon tour, or they
hopefully
have sunset.
Not with the ending.
Sunset
tours.
Oh my
gosh. Yes. And so you just got to know the owner of it and said, we want to make this video.
Well, I'm a very ambitious kind of man.
No.
So, / pushy?
So I kind of bug him.
He went a few times, yeah. And then it was crazy, but we announced, hey, we're doing the Sea Dragon for our next video. If you want to be a pirate for a day, call us. Literally 5 minutes later, I'm not joking, 5 minutes later, we get a phone call from Captain Mayhem, who is the captain of the Pirates of the White Sands. This is a very real organization. They are pirates.
And they host the Pier Park.
The Pier Park Pirate Festival
every year in October.
Okay, hold your thought right there.
Yeah.
Jack and Jen, Sandy Marlisa, and Eli Ingram with us in the studio. Stay with us right here on WGN.
I was raised by pirates, robbers, and escape artists. The good Lord, too, somehow that still came. More corrupt than Russia. Don't touch me, who sent ya. It's all a roll of the dice. In paradise, Tortuga is in Florida, making what rusty men your mascot. Don't look over there, no one cares, there is nothing to see. It's no wonder I'm a pirate. I know a guy with the stuff you need, don't mention
it's
me.
It's no wonder I'm a pirate.
One bad night from completely disappearing.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. It's no wonder I'm a pirate. Jack and Jen in the studio with us. And during the news, if you go to the Steve and Johnny Facebook page, that would be facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And you will see we just posted a link to Jack and Jen's new video, Pay County Pirate. I told you guys this off the air. I love this video.
Yes.
It is so cool. The production values and you are so creative, and I'm not just gushing. Well, I'm gushing. I love the video. How long did it take you to do? Did you shoot it in an afternoon? And there's so many creative things in there.
With real pirates, we now know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Real pirates. Yes, we shot it in 2 hours.
2 hours.
What?
It was supposed to be.
No.
It was supposed to be a thunderstorm, but that was our only time we could have the boat.
So that made the clouds look really
interesting. It did. I was actually really pleased because with the lighting, if there's strong light, the shadows are really difficult to work with. So with the clouds, it was like, I can shoot anywhere in this boat, and it's going to look awesome. And then the clouds in the background just created this dark and stormy world. Because the song is very dark and stormy. So it was just perfect. And it was supposed to thunderstorm the whole time.
90% chance
of
thunderstorm.
And it didn't until we left. The moment we left it, the sky opened up. So it was just meant to be.
And the minute we were done, in the 2 hour span, it dropped.
Yeah.
It was like just for us, just for that one time period to make this happen.
I can't even believe that you did that in an afternoon, much less a couple of hours.
Because the production value, I mean, it looks as professional as anything I've ever seen.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just going in with a clear idea.
Now, you say you shoot it. You're actually doing...
I direct and screenwrite the whole thing and video produce it, yes.
Okay, I'm not giving anything away. One of my favorite moments, hi, Daddy.
Yeah.
And watch the video, you'll see what I'm talking about. It was just the timing, everything about it was perfect.
And again, as Jack and Jen said before the news, we're talking about a club of real pirates.
Yes, they really are, and they're very passionate about what they do. Captain Mayhem called us.
I love that name, by the way.
I know.
He's the best.
That's not even his full name. I think it's even longer. They've all got very real pirate names, and he organizes the Pier Park Pirate Fest they put on every October. So, but wonderful people, so down to do just whatever we needed.
Didn't you have your kids involved in the video, too?
I do usually have my kids involved. There was no kids in this one.
Well, my niece, Susan...
She did hold the camera a couple times.
Yeah. Yes, she had to hold the camera. When you see us together, that's Susan holding Susie Ingram.
That's the only thing that's really difficult about doing it all yourself is... somebody's gonna hold the camera. So if you actually pay attention to our videos, there aren't actually many shots of us together. And if they are, it's on a stand or
stationary.
We've got a stranger holding the camera for us. It's always like just kind of off the cuff. But if you go in with a really clear idea and you have a very simple tasks to do, you can get it done really fast. You just have to know like what can somebody that's not a trained actor do that's going to look really cool, and do that, and it comes out great every time.
And you did it without $1 million budget either.
Oh, no, this one,
It with good friends.
Good friends. I Death Roll was our most expensive music video, only because that's when we bought all the equipment.
That's when we bought the gear.
And honestly, it was less than it was going to take for me to hire a video production team to get that equipment,
that's
which
amazing.
Is why we made that
and
decision.
And then every video from Death Roll is the gear that we had purchased for Death Roll. So we were just ready to keep rolling and rolling. We have the gear now.
Yeah.
Well, you know you could be teaching classes because it's so impressive what you are able to pull together on a shoestring budget.
Thank you. Do it
all yourself. I'm thinking for TikTok, you could improve so many of those quick videos in TikTok.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the short form content is interesting, which is what TikTok is. So the videos that are a minute, they're supposed to just grab people's attention. It says now, like science backed, that you get 1 second on TikTok to grab someone's attention. 1 second. If you don't get them in that 1 second, then they're gone. And so what we do with these videos is it is long form content.
Mm-hmm.
It's a over 5 minute video. And I am very, very strict when I do it that it is for art and art alone. I'm not doing this to grab someone's attention off the bat. But what I'm doing is trying to build trust with our people so that they know when a Jack and Jen music video comes out, it's going to be quality.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be a slower road, but in the end process, it's going to be way more worthwhile. Because if you go viral for the wrong thing and you get stuck in that loop, you are going to have a very unhappy life. I don't want that. I want a life that I'm proud of and excited about. And so I'm more than willing to take the slow road on that and
Absolutely.
Create quality.
Yeah, because you'll see a lot of videos these days. They do what's called rage bait. Yeah. Do something outrageous so that you get on your computer and go, oh, this is just stupid. Why do you have whipped cream in the oven while you're baking?
Right.
Yeah. You know, and you go, they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Because
literally,
they want you to respond.
Yeah.
And ching, ching, every time they get those people who are ticked off, that's just money in their pocket.
Exactly.
So, and we were talking last week with Patrick Crispin, who is our computer technology expert. Mm-hmm. We have him on every other week. And we were talking about this kind of thing, and Facebook specifically, and one of the things he was saying is that is by design, because the longer they can get you to be fighting with somebody, you're staying on Facebook fighting with somebody, so that's a good thing for Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Makes the money for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's always been that way, I think, in a way, for entertainment. It just changes forms. And so, but there's always going to be people like us, I believe, that hold true to the standard. And I think if you stay in it long enough and people trust you, you're going to be remembered more over time, regardless of your sphere of influence. But I already know the impact that we're having on our people is profound. Just to give like a shout out, we have friends, Bruce, Angelique, and Jim. They gave us all of our sound equipment that we use at our gigs now. They gave it to us. This is thousands of dollars worth
because they wanted you to continue doing what you're doing.
They invested in us in the way that they can. And we highly value that. Just like the Pirates of the White Sands, they invested in us in the ways that they can by giving their time. The Sea Dragon, they give us this vessel that we can have for 2 hours. It's not monetary, but it is that it's more than that. It's giving their passion, giving their time means so much more. And you can see it, you can feel it in what we're creating because it's so much bigger than us already. So we're just very proud of it. We're going to keep doing it.
You should be.
But we have to take a break. But just before we do, blatant plug, people can see the video. People can buy the album. Where?
Everywhere. You can go on Spotify, Apple Music. You can buy it on our website. You can get CDs and merch on our website. Check
us
out on social media.
And the website is jackandjenmusic.com.
Jackandjenmusic.com.
Yes, Jack and Jen was sadly taken. Maybe
and
we'll get it one day.
We are trying to grow our YouTube right now with the videos. So,
yes.
Good idea.
Really pushing the YouTube right now. Jack and Jen Music.
And you guys need to get on Blue Sky.
Yes,
Blue
sir.
Blue Sky. All right.
That's next. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with Jack and Jen here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Don't play with voodoo.
Words to live by, right,
yes,
Sandy?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I have to ask, Eli, are you ever afraid to be alone with her sometimes?
Okay, so really funny story about that song. That could have been on the Salty South album, but I struggled finishing that song.
He was not convinced on that one.
So Shell Island was my version of her voodoo. we both fought for these two songs.
Yeah. Well, the Shell Island he had was 7 minutes
it
long.
Was originally 7.5 minutes
at 7.5 minutes, and I was like, this is a little long, but voodoo was one I fought for that for over a year, and I was like, you're just not getting it yet. And so we sat down with it. I said, okay, I'm going to really spell this one out. Like, I'm going to really, like, I took charge a lot on that one. So we sat down, and I was like, it's going to go like this, okay? And then the piano goes like this, okay? And then I'm going to come in right here with a rap, and then it's going to go like this, and the drum's going to... And he was like, what is happening?
That was the last song we finished on the album.
You actually thought she was possessed at that point, right?
No, of course not. She's too beautiful.
It's going to be awesome. No, it took a long time to get that one out. So, but it's really interesting, and it actually started with a flute.
What was the inspiration?
The inspiration was a flute I bought from the Native Spirit Store on Beck Avenue.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just spent all my money on this flute. And I took it. She was in a different group at the time, and I was like, "Look at this flute I just bought." And she's like, "How much did you just spend on that flute?" And I was like, "I don't really want to talk about that." But you know, and then I got something called buyer's remorse, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't have spent so much money on this flute because I don't know how to play a flute.
He left, and I was like, I was just laying there in bed, and I was like,
we have a flute.
I'm gonna rap over a flute.
And then yeah, so I, you know what, I, every instrument to me, every instrument has a song.
Yep.
So yes, and so I found it with the flute, and that's the only thing I know how to play on that flute is the voodoo song.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
Yeah, but it was just. For me, it's the lyrics were just don't mess with people who are well on their way. Don't get in their way because you're messing with something you don't understand and it's going to come back at you.
Okay.
And that was
again
the
words to live by.
The song. Yes. Yeah. Don't mess with somebody that's got somewhere to be. That's not going to go well for okay. you. That was the inspo.
Well, I think we should shut up for a second. And what would you guys like to do?
Did y'all want the death roll?
Yes.
The death
roll. Let's do the death roll.
Yeah, the song We Met You.
Brought Absolutely. Us to Steve and Johnny. We're always grateful for this song. So here we go.
Mama said, don't go to the water at night. There are creatures there that hang out of sight with wide mouths and toothy grins. These dragons know all about sin. They'll take you down in a death road. 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 Mama said, don't you go near those reeds. Yeah, these creatures ain't like you and me. They hang in the shadows where you can't see. And take you down deep just to say they'll take you down in a death row.
I was watching a video this afternoon of this beautiful young woman feeding like a 700-pound albino gator.
Okay.
And I kept thinking, this is going to take you down in a death row. Back up. Back up, girl. And she's so sweet and so prim and proper, and she's throwing like whole chickens at this thing, right? And I'm like, seriously, I was hyperventilating as I'm watching her.
Oh, that's so bad out of you.
It's prehistoric. And I thought, oh, honey, you're almost dead. Yeah, you may be prehistoric.
You're teaching it where to come find you.
Yes. Throwing whole chickens at him.
Oh, oh my God. Yeah, we frown on that around here. I don't recommend that at all.
But you did tell the story when we first met you that basically your grandma used to tell you, don't go out there in the back of the house because they'll take you down in a death roll.
We had a pond on my Meemaw's farm, and I always wanted to go swimming, obviously. It's very hot outside here in Florida. And they'd say, no, because you never know what's in there. And I was like, oh, you know, whatever. Until the day I was out there feeding the fish when I visit her. She had us do farm chores, and so I went and got the kernels of fish food and went out there for my morning routine. And I see a head that's ginormous in this pond, a head that does not belong there, that looks very reptilian and looks very much Jurassic Park.
Yes.
And I dropped the bucket of food, and I ran to the house, and I told my mom, I said, Mima! Meemaw, there's a gator out there in that pond. And she just very nonchalantly goes, okay, I'll call your Uncle Charles. And I said, okay, so I don't need to go outside. And she said, you can go outside, just don't go near the pond. It's going to be all right. And I was like, I ain't going out there. And then my Uncle Charles comes over with his shotgun. And I was very upset for the gator. And I said, Uncle Charles, you're not going to shoot it, are you? And he said, I have to, because it's going to eat all the fish. And how do you think your Meemaw eats? She goes out there and she gets the fish. And so it was a really interesting lesson in life. Yeah, just a farm lesson there.
A multi-layered lesson.
Definitely.
Number one, you don't play with gators.
No. No.
And if you got to kill them, you got to kill them so you can stay alive.
So you can stay alive, and that is the Florida way.
Wow. Wow.
Can we get Adam Phillips is our engineer back in Chicago. Adam, can you jump on the microphone for a quick second?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Adam, I don't know. Let's see. Can they hear him? Probably not. We will relate to you. There is a gift that we are bringing back to you
from
Jack and Jim.
Oh, yes. I love gifts.
Yeah, they came in here bearing gifts today, and I went, wow.
And now they can hear you. So you want to tell them what it is?
Oh, sure. It's just your very own Jack and Jen t-shirt. Good stuff.
Oh, how cool. I'll wear that around Chicago.
We hope you'll wear it around.
Oh, for sure.
a little swag.
Jack and Jen swag bag.
I love swag.
And thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you guys are awesome. Since the first time I heard you guys, I really liked the music.
Well, the cool thing is, the very first time that we met Jack and Jen in the studio, Adam was our engineer at WGN.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm curious what that little toy instrument that... she plays this.
Oh,
hey, you want to tell Adam it's a melodica, right?
It's called a melodica.
It looks like a little Fisher-Price toy on the video.
Closest thing to a harmonica, I suppose, because it's a wind instrument, but it's got piano keys.
Little piano.
So I have more control over the sound.
Well, as a dad, he said it looks like a Fisher-Price toy.
Oh, it does. No, I totally agree. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah.
I don't want to say that there's voodoo in the studio right now, but we've got Jack and Jen, and one of the studio monitors has the Weather Channel on, and what are they showing? Hurricane videos.
Oh, boo. But that's actually how you first discovered Sandy Marlisa.
Yeah.
The Jen part of it.
Because I was on Facebook, and I saw one of the posts you did right after.
Yes. Storm in the Century.
Oh.
Yeah. After Hurricane Michael. And then you said, you've got to read this woman's writing. I mean, it was so powerful.
And
really,
I think that's... I don't think I'd heard any of your music at that point, but I think I sent you an email and then dug a little deeper into what you guys were doing and said, we got to say hello.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Sandy is your favorite small-town rock star. Right? I love that.
Thank you. That was actually a bar owner's quip. He had some things to say, and he called me a small-town rock star, and I was like, you know, I kind of like that. I'm going to use it. Thank you for that.
Have you ever written a song with that title?
We have.
We have Small-Town Rockstar as song 2 on the Island of Light.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Okay. Yes.
Cool.
And the first song introduces it, actually.
Yeah, it's a 30-second. The first song on our album is a 30-second song, and it's five of the most important kids in our lives sang the first song. So, I've got a voice student on there, and then his niece, my two kids, and my niece
on there. They did very well.
The intro to our album.
So the future small town rock stars introduced the small town rock star.
Sandy, following you on Facebook, your kids, your son and your daughter, they're destined for showbiz because
they're so comfortable around
what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
It was funny to me. We were recording Small Town Rockstar, and I told Lorelai. She said, what are y'all working on? I said, we're working on your next talent show song. Because she sang Crazy from our first, or Salty South album, at her talent show. And so as time went by, she said, what are y'all working on? I said, we're working on your next talent show song.
Nice. Do you guys write every day? Or do you? Is it like a job where you say, we're going to sit down and write? Or
Pretty much.
I wouldn't say it's a job, though.
Yeah, no. It's more like...
I write every day, but it's more like sometimes I'll be outside with my morning coffee and I'll get two lines. And I'll say, I like this. And I write it down.
And sometimes, you know, I was walking to the gas station. And I was just thinking, how did AC/DC write Highway to Hell? And then I was like, man, I wish I could come up with something like Highway to Hell. And I was like, well, what would I call it? And be like, I think it'd be like the Highway to Heaven. I'm like, well, that's kind of cheesy. What if it was Rock and Roll Heaven? And then I wrote it down and we put it in Small Town Rockstar.
That line made it into the song.
And it just came from walking to the gas station, just thinking, how did Angus Young do it?
There are songs that come fully done, I think. And there's a few of those that come.
Yeah, Shell Island I wrote at the beach. And I took it home and showed Sandy in the morning.
Bootstrap did as well.
Bootstrap
and Death Roll. They just come. It feels like from another world.
Yeah.
Do you ever? Do you wake up and you have dreamt a song, and then you write it down?
Actually, the Voodoo music video came to me in a dream.
Yeah.
Cool.
So the video concept to Voodoo was a dream I had, and I.
And what had you had before you went to sleep that night?
She put a spell on him.
It's a lot of water and.
Again, it's the Sandy Marlisa Voodoo.
No, it's other people's Voodoo. I just say don't play with it.
You had a very busy day today. I want to mention, because I was looking at the almanac, and Saturday was National Vietnam Vets Day, and you guys devoted your morning to performing.
Yeah.
Where were you? Thank you for doing that. Yeah.
Absolutely. We love our vets, and they give so much to us. It's the least we could do, really, to give back to them and play some songs and make them happy. And we played them Hey Rocky, which was our patriotic song we did on the 4th of July.
Right.
And that was just a magical moment. I had chills the whole time.
So where were you? Was this like an organized celebration for the vets?
Yeah, at the Vet Center, local vet, the Bay County Vet Center on Minnesota Avenue.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so it was a nice festival. They had a lot of resources out there for veterans and free food donated by North Star Church.
Man, we were smelling those ribs the whole time. I took a break and I tore up some ribs. Those guys, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
They know how to party. Good food. That's how you party.
Now, did you have a gig after that?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
And then you came here?
Yes, and then we came here.
Where were you?
By the way, you know you're nuts.
I know.
You got to go with it. You got to go with it, right?
But my mama believes in what I'm doing, so.
That's important. Where were you after you did the vets?
The Sky Bar on the beach.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then came
during
home.
Spring break, during you spring ventured break. Down to yes. the beach yes. to perform.
Yes. Yeah, traffic was really bad. It was like an hour
longer. Did you feel old, even though you're young? Did you feel old for a minute and a half?
When I heard the gunshot, I was a little worried. But no.
that's troubling.
I'm young enough to run.
Yeah. All right, we're going to hush up and let you guys do something else for us in studio. Have you decided? Because I know...
I think we did.
We're going to do the title track to our album called Island of Light. This is a very special song to me. So I was actually a Christian minister for about 10 years before I moved on. And actually, most of the songs that I've written still to this day are gospel songs. And this is one of those songs that still is very rooted in the gospel sound as I grew up Southern Baptist. And it just kind of happened. This is one of those that came to me fully finished. And it ended up being a jazzy, gospel-y tune and made the title track. So I'm very proud to share it with you guys. There's enough space in the sky for all stars to shine. Maybe room for a comet or two. And there's rainbows
with all the colors standing right next to each other, and somehow they all get their glory and their own time. And what about the sun and the moon? Yeah, they're up there too. The lightning and thunder, oh, we all stop to wonder if there's a God up there. As we trace the constellations, somehow they all get their glory. Yeah, they all get their glory too. So what about me and you? Do you think you could stand right next to me and shine all your colors? Scream all your wonders to me. To me. Ooh. Somehow they all get their glory. Somehow they all get their glory. And now that I think about it, there's birds up there flying around too. Yeah, there's thousands of species all under the sun and moon. And somehow they all get their glory. Yeah, they all get their glory too. And somehow they all get their glory. Yeah, they all get their glory too. You know the good book says we're made in the likeness of God, and so we all get our glory. Yeah, we all get our glory too. So what does that make me and you? If we're made by God, and he gives glory too. So what does that make me and you? If we get our glory too, somehow we all get our glory.
Amen.
Put your hand on the radio.
Yes.
Say amen. Yes.
Wow.
We're going to let everybody recover.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break.
That's the first time I'd heard that. My goodness. Thank you, Sandy.
Absolutely.
And you too, Eli. Jack and Jen, Sandy Marlisa, and Eli Ingram with us in the studio. And you can check them out. Had a new video that dropped today. We got a link to it on our Facebook page. You can find them on our Facebook page. But you can find them right here after we take this break on WGN.
Sunsets that fit in God's hand. I never swim in water without fear. Weather shocks, cicadas, we got it all down here. Well, the whole world thinks we're crazy, but let me clear this up in case we have a little misunderstanding. I'm sure we'll see you all in summertime again. 'Cause I live for something.
Johnny Carpenter, WGN Radio. One of my many favorite Jack and Jen songs, that's Summertime Again. And that's one of those I just have to crank it up to the threshold of pain, so I like it.
Well, there is a film festival that's coming to Panama City in just a couple of weeks,
yes.
April 12th, I believe. And for anybody who's coming this way, you would want to check it out because it's going to be right downtown, and that downtown has gone through a major transformation.
Truly.
After Hurricane Michael. I think in the future there will be classes taught on how to recover the way this town did by tapping into the artistic and the creative people that live here. Mm-hmm. And it's really turned things around. So this festival that's coming up is called Redfish Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And you guys have a film that's going to be in the film festival.
We sure do. Yes, ma'am, we do.
Tell us about
it. What did we call it?
It's called Hey Rocky. So the Redfish Film Festival is a documentary film festival. Mm-hmm. So everything has to be a documentary. So we actually recorded how we...
Yeah.
Almost like the behind the scenes of how we wrote the song Hey Rocky.
Did it in three days.
We did it in 3 days. It was... early July, and I got a message from the news, and they said, we want to have you on Today's Tunes. We want to have you here playing a song. And we looked at each other.
On the 4th of July.
On the 4th of July. Literally on the 4th. And we were like, we have 3 days. Let's rock an American USA song. And so we set up the cameras, and we wrote it live in front of, you know, our fans and our followers. And... we got it together, and we somehow pulled it off with a 3-day span of start to finish of how to write this song. And we recorded it. We submitted it to the Redfish Film Festival as a rockumentary because it's how we wrote our rock song, Hey Rocky.
Excellent.
And so it takes you into our home, literally. We invite you to come into our house and watch our writing process as we write the lyrics, the chords, the solos, and the production, and... then, you know, after doing all that kind of stuff, being really introverted and, you know, staying in the house, then you have to go and play this song on an acoustic guitar live in front of everyone on the news on the 4th of July. And so it takes so many different parts of the brain to fit it together like a puzzle, but somehow we did it.
Yeah.
Well, it worked because they accepted you.
They sure did, yes.
It's a very competitive film. Yes. I don't want to call it a contest. It's a festival.
Yeah, it's the only documentary festival in the Southeast, I believe. Kevin Elliott and Lex Benedict head that up. And they're from here. So it's a locally ran, operated film festival.
And this is becoming more of a big deal every year, isn't
it? Coke is sponsoring,
and last year they had one of the guys from the Avengers come down and give a class. Mm-hmm. And you bet me and this girl were front row learning everything we could.
Yeah, we didn't get to watch too many documentaries. We were listening to the film producers.
We went to every single class, yes. We didn't get to watch all the documentaries.
How long is your rockumentary?
This one is 10 minutes. Ours last year was about 50 minutes, so... Yeah. We've got. We still haven't released that one.
We have not
officially, because I have plans for it. We're making a.
We have plans.
Jack and Jen movie.
Whoa, we're gonna. Well, cats out of the bag.
We've announced that. We've announced that already.
Wow. Okay.
I like the way Eli looked. Like, really, we are. We're making a movie.
You heard it. You heard it tonight. We are making a Jack and Jen movie.
Yeah, it's been in the works. Though we've announced that before.
Well, congratulations on being in the Redfish Festival. And the point is not only does it get your word out there, but I think showing behind the scenes again. That goes back to what I was saying earlier about how you guys could be teaching a class on how to do this.
Definitely.
On a shoestring budget.
Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing.
We have many plans.
Yeah, give us a peek into the next documentary. What are you trying to do? Will it be you performing locally, writing a little bit of all of the above?
Of the next documentary?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know if I've thought that far ahead. I don't know. Maybe behind the scenes of how we do the music videos and stuff would
Good.
Be really cool. Yeah.
Great idea.
Because we do have community. People very surprised when they show up to be an actor that we do it all. They mm-hmm. think we have a film crew.
Exactly.
And so they see me with a little GoPro camera and they're like, this is
what?
How you do it?
Yeah.
And,
when we
and they're
it's
confused.
A Jack and Jen production. Like I recorded in the studio.
Yeah, the music.
And she takes the lead on the videos.
Yeah.
And so when it's a Jack and Jen production, it's Jack and Jen.
Right.
Yeah.
And you guys, you edit it, the final project.
Yeah, we don't have ghostwriters. We don't have ghost anybody. It's us. I've been a ghostwriter, but nobody is a ghostwriter for us. So.
But I love at the end of your videos how you credit everybody who was involved.
Oh, of course.
That is very cool.
We're appreciative that people would come and do this with us and help us grow our dream. And the pirate video, I got to say, with the one we just released today, I have never had so much fun in my whole life, and my brother was there, and he had never, I've never seen him smile so much. My niece was there. She said, I've been on the pirate ship, but I've never, like, recorded pirates, and all of our friends were there, and it was just literally the most fun day ever, and it felt magical, and I could see everyone that volunteered to come be with us, that they were also having the time of their life, and just to be able to create that opportunity is the reason I never want to stop.
And it comes through in the finished product.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what? We've got about, would you say 3 minutes before we're going to let them go home and go to bed after they've been working all day on Saturday. Anything you can sneak in?
We got one more for you.
Yeah, we got
okay.
one more.
Okay.
Here's a little song about a girl from the swamp. Look like I crept from a swamp, boots on my feet, hands soaked in turpentine. Got lips like a largemouth bass, you better throw me back, I got a lot on my mind. Times ain't been easy, I missed a few Sundays. Me more pray that I find my way, she said the devil himself is from the music I play. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, baby. Nobody gonna come to your rescue. There's no crying in the boxing ring. Step up, take your shot, here comes a swing. Ooh. Well, I combed my hair and got my education. Got back to town and I caused a sensation. For the music I play, the town gossip label, need the local crazy lady. Good God Almighty, call the authorities. It must be a cold day in hell when the people of the South miss the toll of the bell. Preacher said, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, baby. Nobody gonna come to your rescue. There's no and ring, step up, take a shot, here comes a swing. From the bias to the ballrooms, boots on my feet and my tongue stick I walk into those high class tombs and you'll never guess what I ever did find. There's no pockets in their shirts.
Oh my.
There's no rips in their ties.
Oh my God.
And what do I observe? I look down to their finger and a boot inside the bed. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, baby. Nobody gonna come to your rescue. There's no crying in the boxing ring. Take a shot, here comes a swing.
Thank you. Thank you both. It's always a pleasure to have you in studio with us. And I've got to tell you, I'm not a musician, but I'm always inspired just to listen to more music after I've spent some time with you guys on the radio.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I don't know why, but while you guys were performing that, I was thinking, I wish we could have introduced you to a friend of ours. Screaming Jay Hawkins.
Oh, yes.
You would have loved him. He would have loved you.
I put a spell on you.
Oh,
remember that song?
I put a spell on you.
Yes.
Now you're mine.
And he was an operatic singer, too.
Yeah.
And people just think of him as being a one-hit wonder, but he was so much more than that.
Wow.
Well, I want to...
Very quick blatant plug for anybody listening to us locally. You guys are going to be appearing any place people should know about over the next couple days?
The Redfish Film Festival, that night, will be at the House of Henry.
The 26th.
Saturday
April
night.
April 26th.
All right.
Well, come party with us, yeah.
Yeah, these kids are crazy because they're busy. As we said, they started at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, went all day, all evening, and then came by here to play on the radio. So, again, thanks a million.
Thank you.
And
thank
congratulations. New
and
video.
Again, don't forget to check out jackandjinmusic.com
mm-hmm.
and look for Jack and Jin, J-A-C-K-A-N-D-G-I-N, on YouTube. Check out their YouTube page.
Oh, real quick, Sandy, your book is coming out in June.
June 28th. Yes. Waterwind, Confessions of a Rising Rock Star.
Okay. And someday we'll say, yes, that was the beginning, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Beth.
We got a lot more coming up. Sports between the sheets and mm-hmm. Who knows what else. So stay with us on WGN. WGN Radio. That's a dealer's choice. Julian, I'm going back and forth. Ramsey Lewis, Ahmad Jamal. I'm trying to think. I recognize the song. I can't think of the title, but who is that?
How about a little Les McCann?
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Now, you were inspired to play Les McCann because...
Do you guys have Apple TV Plus?
No.
So there's this fantastic show that I just wrapped watching called Severance.
Oh, Becca's going, yes, yes, yes. She's on the other side of the mic going, yes, yes, yes. You've hit a note. So that was in Severance?
Yeah, so in the season 2 opener is one of the greatest scenes I've ever seen on television in recent years.
What?
And this song was set under that opening scene of season 2. And when you watch it, if you get to that point, you'll know. Because you're just, whoa.
Really? So
okay, I think we're just going to back out and let Becca and Julian handle the rest of the show and talk about Severance. So Becca, why should we watch Severance?
Oh, it's a bit of a sci-fi thriller of sorts. It takes the concept of work life versus personal life and very literally, where this big corporation basically is like, oh, yeah, we're going to put a chip in your brain.
Oh.
And it's going to basically, like, turn you from what, like, you're one person, you're yourself when you're, like, out in the world when you're not working, but then you basically just flip a switch. And then you're kind of a different person, and that person...
Like robotic?
Not robotic, but it's basically just...
Well, you're flipping a switch.
Flipping a switch to where you're you, but you're you with no memories of the outside world. And
oh.
Who, so it's just... There's a version of you that, like, never sees the inside of your workplace, and there's a version of you that only ever sees the inside of your workplace. And so it kind of explores that concept and, like, the ethics of it and that sort of thing. That particular scene that Julian was talking about... not gonna spoil it, but it was it involves like running down this very long like winding hallway, and there's a lot of different like camera angles and stuff that happened. That took that one scene took 5 months to film.
What?
It's so good.
Okay, Julian, over to you. Why should we watch Severance?
What I like about it is that what she was saying about the outside and the inside being separated, it's almost like you have two personalities, and neither one is really aware of what the other does.
Okay.
Yes.
And you learn pretty early on, almost in the first or second episode, that the outside person kind of volunteered for it, and the inside person is just kind of like, all right, well, I'm here, so I'm going to do this. And each person inside has different issues with that. There's one who's kind of like, okay, I'm here to work. And the other's like, let me out.
So it's not like a multiple personality disorder where one personality kind of is aware of all the others.
No, it's very distinct.
Is this a show that Ben Stiller is the...
Yes.
Is he the director?
Yes.
Or?
The director, and I think he wrote some of it.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not the main writer, but he's definitely was...
There's a team of writers, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's so much buzz about it, and I thought, well, you know, it's Apple TV. Well, okay.
And I don't know if you guys saw, they did a whole stunt in Grand Central Station in New York where they had the actors in these little glass cubicles just to generate buzz about the show.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
The actual actors?
Yeah.
Yes. It was in, like, a glass case, and it was a reenactment of, like, what their little corporate little desks and stuff looked like, and they're just interacting with each other. You can't really hear or hear them, but they're just basically acting through it. I think one of my favorite parts that hooked me on the first episode that, like, kept me through was the office talk is very, like, very on point. It's very accurate to, like, some of my that'd be a conversation I'd overhear one of my coworkers, like, in the background doing with the other. Shout out Sam Granville and Jekyll. A couple of people I work with over at News 13. But, yeah, no, it feels like you're there with them experiencing it in some levels. It's very good.
Well.
Text from Deanna says the cinematography composition is gorgeous.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a new series. It's a one-word title. And it's, I'm sorry I've drawn a blank on the name, but it's another one that's got a great deal of buzz. It's about the educational system, very depressing, in Great Britain.
Yeah.
And apparently, technically, it is done without any camera cuts.
Oh.
The whole hour is one shot.
Wow.
And they say that really builds, like, anxiety as you're watching it, because you realize you're seeing everything through the eyes of the character.
Yeah.
Which is really fascinating.
But wasn't the first time something like that was done? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was Alfred Hitchcock. And it was an early Alfred Hitchcock movie. And in a nutshell, he took one camera and it was kind of going around the room.
Yes.
But it was a continuous shot for the whole film.
Okay.
It was one of his early films, I believe.
I just looked up the title of this one because I came across it, Adolescence. Adolescence. Okay. Have either of you heard about that?
I have not.
I've heard of it. I've been meaning to check it out. Does it say what it's on?
I think it's also on Apple TV. Because I passed the information along to a friend of mine and said, all these people are buzzing about this on Facebook about Adolescent.
I believe it's on Netflix, actually.
Is it Netflix?
Yeah, Netflix. Okay. Yeah. I have seen a couple of trailers for this, not in length, but yeah.
But that sounds fascinating to just do the one camera with, like Fred Astaire dancing.
Yeah.
No breaks.
No cuts.
Yeah. Julian, I just looked up Music of Severance, and that's really a big thing, the music of the TV show.
Yeah.
Because apparently it was curated by music supervisor George Jacolius. The show incorporates existing songs from artists like iMonster, Billie Holiday, Moses Allison, The Stone Roses, Joe McPhee, The Who. A really interesting mix.
Ooh, I like that mix, yeah.
Really great mix
I'd like
of
to hear
music.
The soundtrack.
Well, now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, what? you should watch it.
Can we get Apple TV?
Yeah, I'm sure we can.
It does start a little slow, so just bear with it. And then by 3 and 4, then you're wondering, oh my gosh, what's happening? I want to know what's going on.
Now, did you say you're on the second season?
I finished it already. But my brother just started season 2, and he was blown away by that opening in season 2.
Well, how many seasons are there?
Just the 2 right now.
But yeah, the finale just came out a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so we're not that far out of steps, Steve.
Yeah,
okay. We got to get with the program.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break and come back. A little sports between the sheets.
Yes.
With Gabe coming up here on WGN.
Do you like playing sports? Yes, I do. Do you like playing sports? Steve and Johnny on the radio. Do you like playing sports, Gabe?
Hi, Gabe. It's your turn.
That does sound like something I'd hear on Sesame Street.
Exactly.
Hi, Gabe.
Oh, Gabe. So, it's been an exciting week. I've got to say, though, I'm not really into basketball. Of course, you heard March Madness on this here radio station earlier tonight. But I am shocked that Duke beat Alabama. Am I the only one, Gabe?
Probably. I actually have Duke winning the whole thing. And
do you really?
And again, we must offer our condolences to Patrick Crispin, because, again, it's Christmas, it's Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
I have Duke beating Auburn in the championship.
Really?
But Auburn has to get past Michigan State later today.
Okay.
And then my other Final Four pick, Houston, has to defeat Tennessee today. Duke's already in, but my fourth Final Four team was St. John's. They got eliminated in the second round, so at that point my bracket was already busted.
Busted bracket.
By the way, we should insert that the reason you didn't hear Tom Appel tonight was because of March Madness, which really played havoc with our schedule. We thought we weren't going to be getting on until 11:30 tonight. We already had Jack and Jen. We wanted to spend some time with them. So Tom Appel will be joining us next week. And we think, emphasis on
think,
that next week's show will start at 10:30.
Right, from this year's studio. Okay, speaking of standings, I think it was Thursday, I looked at the baseball standings, and I said, I just need to do a screenshot of this. The Sox were in second place.
Well, before that, they were in first place.
That's true.
They were tied for first place, right, Gabe?
They were, yeah. And I must say that, the way that they played in their opener, you know, very impressive.
Yes.
I know Saturday, obviously, was a bummer. They lost 1-0, only got two hits, but, you know, let's put this into perspective here. Through two games, they've only given up two runs to the Angels.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, although the Angels have had their own struggles in recent years, this is a team that has one of the best players in the league and one of the highest paid players in the league in Mike Trout, who's capable of taking over a game on his own. So that's saying a lot. Obviously, there's been some fundamental improvement with the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
1-1's not a bad start through two games. You know, we just have to see where it goes from here, but certainly I've been impressed. Like I said, I know, you know, getting shut out on Saturday, obviously not ideal, but again, considering that they only gave up one run.
Yes, they weren't trounced.
Right.
And I know it's really, really early in the season, and I'm not expecting World Series playoffs, but as of these two games, and from what we saw in some of the preseason, I'm more impressed with this team than in anything I saw last year.
And this is very important, Gabe. I think you'll agree, because this will get people thinking, oh, well, they're not as bad as they were last year. Maybe we'll go to a game. We'll watch a game.
And obviously that's the ultimate goal, is to get butts in the seats, which is a problem that they've had for many years now. Even when they were last a competitive team, a winning team, they had trouble filling seats. Mm-hmm.
Oh, but speaking of filling seats, did you see what happened? One of the guys that we always look for, they call him the M&M man, and he's usually positioned right behind home plate. And
wearing his M&M jacket.
And you didn't see him, and apparently He's been a season ticket holder forever, but they raised the prices, and he said, no, not doing that. So he's still there, but he's not behind home plate
anymore.
He's
in a cheap seat now.
Yeah.
People are looking for him in the stands.
Can't say I blame him.
Yeah. Okay, how about the Cubs? They were, I was a little iffy yesterday, but they turned it around today, right?
A 4-3 win over the Diamondbacks. Came down to a heads-up play at the very end by Dansby Swanson to get that third out to save the game. Arizona almost pulled off a comeback, but again, you know, the Cubs are a team that are still, you know, figuring things out. You know, as we've talked about earlier in the year, before spring training even started, based on, you know, the moves that they made in the offseason, we were debating, are they trying to win? Are they trying not to win? Are they going to, you know, go through another rebuild? But 2-3 to start the year, you know, not bad. Obviously, losing both games in Japan to the Dodgers was a bummer. But, you know, as we said, the Dodgers are the defending champions for a reason. So, the Cubs, obviously, the two big things. You know, their pitching needs to hold up, you know, more often than it has been. That's kind of been an issue at times. And also when their offense goes cold. So, you know, putting those two things together will obviously help them moving forward. But again, it's early in the season. It's only the first week of the season. I know we're getting a little too deep into the analysis here. But at the same time, considering, you know, how the Cubs have been on the outside looking into the playoff picture the last couple of years, and, you know, the White Sox went from being, you know, a potential contender to, you know, rebuilding again. You know, it's kind of hard not to go deep into, you know, the analytics and the fundamentals as far as baseball goes. But, you know, again, you know, first week wraps up later today, and, you know, we'll just see what happens moving forward from here.
I got to tell you, I'm going to speak very superficially. There are two guys that I would watch, and I will watch the Cubs for these two guys. One is Dansby, because nobody has a better name in any sports than that guy, because he should be like in a Hallmark romance movie. That name is perfect. And he also is good on the field. And Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
I have some faith in him. How about you, Gabe?
He's certainly a talent worth watching, and the big thing for him is, you know, stepping it up in the batter's box. We all know what he can do as a base runner, and he has plenty of highlight reel plays out in the field. But for him this year, it's going to be a matter of, you know, becoming more productive from an offensive standpoint. But so far, I've liked what I've seen. But again, you just got to, you know, take his play to the next level.
As I said, I'm going to be superficial. They're both adorable. They really are.
But, you know, at least with Dansby Swanson, he's, you know, one of the proven players in the league. I'm not too worried about him, but I'd like to see more out of Pete Crow Armstrong for sure.
Okay, Becca, Dansby Swanson, is that not the best romance name? Like, from the 1800s, Dansby Swanson walks in, and he's wearing a fluffy shirt and velvet pants, and he's here to save the day. Every time I hear that name,
I can hear a butler going like, oh, Mr. Swanson.
Yes, Mr. Swanson, please.
That sounds like a good book you're writing.
I know. I'm working on that.
Cheap, trashy sports romance novel.
That's right. So back to the March Madness. Where are you in the standings? Are you out or?
Well, I didn't take part in the office pool this year, and I'm glad.
Oh, you didn't.
And I'm glad didn't, because once St. John's got eliminated, that was going to be pretty much it for me. And of course, a few of my other picks had fell after that. Arkansas ruined my bracket a couple of times because they beat, not only did they beat St. John's, but they beat Kansas in the first round, and I had Kansas going to the Sweet 16. So Arkansas kind of ruined my bracket. And there were some other picks too that kind of let me down. So I, you know, I wasn't going to win anything. So I'm glad I didn't sign up for the WGN office pool this year. But
I'm going to check my text, because I have a friend that told me before the show tonight. Well, actually, it was this afternoon. He said there were two games that $400 was riding on those games, and I thought, what kind of pool are you in where $400 is on a game?
Just on one game?
One game.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
He said, there are two teams that I have chosen. If they win, I'll be $800 richer on Monday morning. I'm like, hello.
That'll go so out. I could probably put that in my savings account.
Well, yeah. But how do you explain it to your wife when you lose that money?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why I don't bet.
Well, I should say he's also a single guy, so that explains right there. Yeah.
So, Gabe, as you're channel surfing this week, what's on your playlist? What teams are you looking for this week?
Obviously, you know, watching baseball, of course. Loyola is going to be in the semifinals of the NIT. They made it to the Final Four of the NIT. You know, they have a chance to, you know, push for a championship there in Indianapolis. I believe their semifinal game is Tuesday. And I've also started watching the United Football League. They're starting their new season. They started actually Friday night, and I've watched a couple of the games already. I'm going to be watching that as well. Say what you will about spring football, but I just love football in general. You know, it's a sport that I played for so long, and, you know, it's my favorite sport to watch. So even if it's, you know, even if it's players that, you know, people might not be familiar with it, you know, I just love watching football. So that'll certainly keep me busy. But obviously, I'm really rooting for Loyola and the NIT. I really hope that they can pull that off and bring a trophy home.
Well, thanks, Gabe. We got a lot coming up here in the final stretch of the program on WGN.
makes me sad, girl. Yeah, it brings me down. All right. Tossing and turning and freezing and burning and crying all through the night.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That was a night I will never forget. I surprised Johnny with a birthday phone call from Bobby Sherman, and he came on singing, Johnny, 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 Do You Love Me? And sadly, there's some sad news about Bobby Sherman this week.
Yes, yes, yes. And in fact, I can't hear that song without him actually singing Johnny, Johnny, Johnny to me on the radio. I'll finish that story in just a moment. A listener had a sweet text earlier tonight. She says, can we send out some caring thoughts for Bobby Sherman? He's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and he was my 12-year-old. She said, my 12-year-old heart is broken, and I'm right there with you. When I heard the news, I was so sad.
And you hate to hear that happen to anybody, but in particular, when, from everything we know about Bobby, he's one of the really good guys.
And lived a really healthy life. Yeah. I don't know what kind of cancer. I have not read stage 4 cancer. His wife announced it last week on Facebook. She says he loves his fans, and he made himself available to me, and I was a gushing 12-year-old when I was talking to him as an adult, because I was just like over the moon.
And after the interview, I will never forget, this is the only time in all the years that Johnny and I have been in broadcasting, at the end of an interview, when he hung up, Johnny was in tears.
I started crying because it was a classic case of someone that you really, really, you idolize from afar. And when you meet them, they are as wonderful as you imagined they were when you were 12 or 13 years old.
Yeah, there were no cracks in that armor. He was the real deal.
He was that wonderful. He was so patient with me. Even when I asked him what he was wearing while we were talking to him, and after the fact, I went, yikes! Wah! Why did I do that? But again, I was 12 all over again. And I've told this story before, and I know it makes me sound like I was absolutely out of my mind. Of course, now I'm a right-thinking American.
Excuse me?
Back in the day, because his poster was on every one of the doors in my bedroom, I thought that the time would come when I was 18 years old, there would be a knock on the door, and it would be him. And he was... And I had a good childhood. It's not like I was trying to run away from home. I just was so sure that we were meant for each other. Sorry, Steve. But he had great hair, too. So, but I loved his music. I love, love, love the television show, Here Come the Brides. David Soul was also in Here Come the Brides. He was just... And then when
My first encounter with Bobby Sherman goes back...
Shindig.
Yeah. He was one of the Shindogs, and basically, it was a rock and roll show, Wednesday nights, ABC, one of the first shows that had the Beatles and the Stones, and but they had an in-house band, and some of the members of that in-house band were James Burton, who played guitar with Ricky Nelson and Elvis Presley, the Righteous Brothers, Bobby Sherman, Billy Preston. I mean, it was the Shindogs were a Darlene Love was part of the group too.
And I love the show, but again, I just knew was they're good looking people making good music, you know. And then I fell in love with him when the 1 hour, I believe it was on Friday night, Here Come the Brides show, and it was very popular too. And then he walked away from music and entertainment in the 90s to become a paramedic. And then he was also teaching in L.A. or someplace in California.
Yeah, right around L.A.
Because one of the funniest stories he told was, because he still looked, and he, to this day, he looks fantastic. But one of the funny stories, he said he was delivering a baby. And a woman looked at him and said, "Hey, you look just like Bobby Sherman." And he said, "Yes, ma'am." And I guess he had Robert on his name tag. And she named her kid, a little girl, Bobby, after him. And I said, "Oh, I get that. I completely understand that." But a thank you to the listener who said her, like me, her 12-year-old heart was broken when she got the news. His wife said that he is resting comfortably. He's 81 years old, which shocked me. I don't know, because in my mind...
I didn't know that Bobby and I were the same age.
I didn't either. But, in my mind, it's like he'll forever be young. He considered himself kind of like not just a pop singer, more like the Monkees, like a little bit of depth to the music.
Okay.
You know, he wasn't a sugar Archie's kind of pop singer.
There were some of his songs that, in fact, one in particular that I always wanted to hear Sinatra cover, "Easy Come, Easy Go."
Easy Come,
it's a great song.
Yeah, "Pretty Woman" was pretty good too.
Yeah,
or "Little Woman." Hey,
Little Woman.
Little Woman, yes. Yeah. Oh, well. So that's the news on Bobby Sherman, and thanks to the listener who reminded me, because earlier this week I said, oh, no, but I was, again.
So just think some good thoughts for Bobby Sherman. Again, this should happen to nobody.
Yeah.
But you hate it when it happens to somebody that, from everything we've heard and from our experience talking with him a couple times, was a really good guy.
And being in showbiz, you can't do this privately.
Yeah.
You know, his wife had to come forward and share the news so it didn't leak.
So it didn't become tabloid fodder.
Exactly. And that's also painful.
Yeah.
So, but again, thank you all for checking in with us throughout the night. 312-981-7200. Another listener had an interesting text. She said, "This is Marlene in Old Norwood Park. I live across the street from the oldest house in the city of Chicago." The oldest house in Norwood Park. I had no idea.
And how far does this house go back?
So it had to. In Norwood Park was not affected by the Chicago fire, to the best of my knowledge.
No, I don't think it was. So I wonder what year it was built.
Marlene, give us some more details, please.
Yes, inquiring minds want to know,
right.
Marlene. By the way, I think I'm the blue lights are starting to flicker.
Yes.
And I could be hearing a Zamboni in the background.
Yes.
But I think
I can't believe it. We just sat down.
Yep. There it is. Yep. The Zamboni is
got to clean that studio.
Adam Phillips is riding the Zamboni tonight.
Clean the studio so it's ready for the Sunday shows.
But that also means it's time for our last call. So if you would like to be our last caller and win some goodies from the prize list, 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. And as we always say, you don't have to have anything pithy to talk about, just to be able to make a fist and
hold your phone.
And hold your phone.
We prefer you not be on speakerphone because it causes kind of an echo effect. So, yes, you need to be able to make a fist and hold that phone. And you could just talk
and
about
it. As long as you haven't won anything from this here radio place within the last 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first.
See, I told you, though, with February, it gets a little complicated.
Oh, that's true.
So let's go with 60 days.
Okay.
So. And you know, we've got April coming up in just a couple of days. I'm like, no. How can this be?
Well, because there was
stop
January,
it. Stop it. We're going to take a break. We'll be back here on WGN.
981-7200.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
Yep.
Losing time.
We're losing time.
Head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home. But you can't stay here.
Can't stay here. And no, we're not going to play all of that. That's Red Peters and the closing song. You can look it up on YouTube and you can find out why we're not going to play it. Mm-hmm. By the way, before we get to our last caller, this information just pours in courtesy of Becca, our on-site producer, who has everything you need to know about the oldest house in Chicago, which is what? Becca?
What year?
It was built in 1836.
Wow.
And it was called the Clark Ford House. It's also known as the Henry B. Clark House.
Look up who Henry B. was. So yeah. we can finish this tangent, right?
I think he was the guy that owns the oldest house in
Steve?
Chicago. Yeah.
Steve.
I'm just saying. No,
I'm giving you.
Older.
I'm giving you the look, which is a different situation in this studio because I'm closer to you. I could reach over there and punch you if I wanted to, but I would never do that.
Are we talking
never.
About Henry B. Clark?
Henry B. Clark.
Henry
yes.
B. Clark, not Henry A. or C., but Henry B. Clark.
What do you know about Henry B. Clark?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I thought she was still looking it up.
I like the idea of dueling producers.
Yes, we're so lucky we have two.
So Henry Brown Clark is a native of New York, and he came to Chicago in 1833 with his wife Carolyn Palmer Clark. And that's Clark with an E at the end.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Your turn, Becca.
So do you confirm that, Becca?
Yes, that's what the Wikipedia article is saying.
And Becca also has an E at the end of her name.
I do. You don't put it on the rundowns, though.
We don't put the S-T-A-R-K-E?
Yeah, no, it's just, you just put, like, without the E.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I've told you this from the day I met you. I flash on the, Iron Man.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
Yes.
Yes.
I think the E is usually on the rundown, but I look and I see it's not on the rundown this week.
Well then,
shame on whoever put together the rundown.
No,
Steve?
Be nice. Be nice. All right. It's a very common mistake.
I feel your pain because I'm J-O-H-N-N-Y to everyone. And I met a woman, quick story before we get to our final, our last caller. I met a woman the other day, a clerk in a department store, and she had I said, oh, Pepper is your name. Oh, that's cute. And she immediately said, as I often do, that's my real name. Like, don't get funny. That's not a joke. This is the name I was born with.
Yeah.
So 3 days later, I go back to the store to make a return, and there is Pepper. I said, hey, Pepper. She goes, oh, you remember me? And I said, yes. And you have a sister named Pepper. And she goes, no, you are doing so well. My sister's name is Poppy. And in fact, there's like five sisters
wow.
and they all have P names. And I was thinking Paprika was the first thing that came out. I thought,
close enough.
That would be kind of cute, you know, Pepper and Paprika.
Yeah.
Okay, we have we've turned it over to Julian since we're in a remote location. Mm-hmm. And Julian, you chose what number?
We've got caller number two here, and I believe that is Josh in Evanston.
Oh, nice.
Hi, Josh in Evanston.
Howdy.
Hi, Steve and Johnny. I listen to you every night. I talked to you a couple months ago. I always like listening to you, and you're always interesting. I always like, yeah.
Oh, well, good.
Well, thank you.
I listened to you a long time for at least maybe 10 years.
Okay.
I used to do Monday for Friday.
Right.
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, it has to be more than 10 years then, because we were doing the full-time show. We stopped that December of 2011. So you've been with us. You've grown up with us, Josh.
Yes. Yeah.
Right, yes. In fact, I just got a text from a listener who says, I started listening to you folks when I was 29, and he's coming up on his 67th birthday. And I'm like, what?
I'm in my 40s, Stephen Johnny.
Okay. Well, you sound like a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's
up? I'm not a kid. I'm in my 40s.
What's on the agenda for things that Josh is going to do to wrap up your weekend? What are you going to do today, Sunday?
Maybe watch baseball and hang out with friends and kind of be with family, too.
Well, good.
Okay, I have to ask. I think I probably know the answer, but Cubs or Sox?
I'm a Chicago fan.
Oh.
Good. I like that.
Very judicious.
I like
yes.
that a lot. Yes.
I think I'm going to go that route, too, because I got so depressed last year with the Sox, and I just felt so bad, and we would go to a Cubs game, and then I'd be angry, and I was like, no, I can't be like that. I got to be a Chicago fan.
I like all Chicago. Sometimes Chicago have good days and bad days.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? The same thing happens in San Francisco and in L.A. and in New York.
Correct.
Right.
Did you ever play any sports?
I used to do baseball and basketball.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't say I'm not a musician. Not sports inclined either. What can I do? I can bake. I made chocolate chip cookies to bring in
yes,
tonight.
That's
very good.
Well, thank you, Becca.
And you play accordion.
At least I'm sorry?
You play accordion.
Oh, stop it. I do not play accordion. I do not.
And you can look up the video. I think it is still available on the WGN website. I think you can still find the tornado aid video. And in that video, you will see Johnny burning her accordion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, you.
As it should be. Thank you, Josh.
Okay, hold on for a second, Josh, and Julian will get some information from you off the air.
Yes, and we're going to send you out an official WGN logo T-shirt. We got to get one of those for you, Becca.
Yes, please.
So you can advertise down here, because you're wearing a Batman shirt now. You need a GN T-shirt.
I need to be a walking billboard. I'm ready.
That's right. At least we could give you something for staying up late with us on Saturday nights. Cookies and T-shirts. And
again, we should mention that next week, which will be our last week broadcasting from Florida,
mm-hmm.
Next week, if all goes well, we will be starting at 10:30. And next week, we're going to introduce you to someone that we haven't met her in person yet. We're going to do that actually this Tuesday. We're going to be joining Tom Hoots on his show here on WKGC at noon on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his guests is going to be a lady who will be joining us in the studio here next Saturday night, Tracy Mick.
Have you worked with Tracy, Becca?
I have worked with Tracy. She was on Radio Cosmos last back in, I want to say, October. Phenomenal singer, songer, songwriter, everything. You're going to love her.
She is. One of the things I love about her, and we've just seen some of her videos, she doesn't do vocal gymnastics. She just sings and sings wonderfully.
Yes.
She does beautiful covers, too. When she did the Everly Brothers, I was almost in tears.
Oh, her voice is gorgeous.
And the Beatles tunes, but her original music is really cool.
Yeah.
Radio Cosmos TV or radio?
Both. We've got the
Radio Cosmos.
The radio show is on Friday nights from 9 to midnight, I believe. And then the TV show, I don't recall what time it plays on our TV show, on our TV station, but it is on YouTube at Radio Cosmos Live, Panama City. Like, you can find it there.
So is that a case of, for example, with Jack and Jenny mm-hmm. here tonight, with a camera on them,
yes.
Radio Cosmos has in-studio performances and just takes that and puts it on YouTube
yes.
and the TV station?
Yes.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And if you want to check it out, go to WKGC, look mm-hmm. on their schedule, and you will see when Radio Cosmos airs on the weekends here in Panama City. But you can hear it online all over the place.
Yes.
Before we get out of here, earlier there was a question about you, Becca. Yes.
Oh, scary.
No.
I'm kidding.
In fact, it's a good question, too, because we've mentioned that you come from a TV station where you work on Saturday nights, mm-hmm. and the news is over with at 10:30, and then you skedaddle over here to work mm-hmm. with us. They wanted to know if you're a student here Gulf Coast.
I am. I am a digital media major here at Gulf Coast State College. This is actually my final semester before I get my bachelor's degree.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, with a video production specialization. Yeah, I am a student here.
There's
so 10 years from now, what do you want to be doing?
Good question. it's definitely something in broadcasting. I've been working here at the college, gave me a love for broadcasting. Going and working over at WMBB News 13 also helps solidify that as well.
And Studio 812, Tom Hoots' studio, his recording studio, you've worked over there.
Yeah, I've started working more over there with them with sound engineering, and that's been a lot of fun. I hope to continue that as well.
I'm probably going to end this show on a depressing note. There's no actual radio class at this college, is there?
There used to be.
There is still a radio class. There's a radio production class that takes place in the spring.
Oh, good.
Yeah, for the associate's level. And the student station, alternation, which is 90.7 HD3. It's an HD3 station. Allows students and community members to come in and do their own shows and learn how to DJ and stuff, regardless of if they're actively in classes or not.
That's great.
Yeah, wow. No, I've had a couple of different radio shows on there. It's been a lot of fun.
Huh, I did not know that. I mention that because I'm a graduate of Columbia mm-hmm. College Chicago, and there's no longer a radio department.
Yeah, which it was a couple of years ago.
I was devastated.
They shut that down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, because Chicago is a, this is not a real active radio market.
Yeah.
Chicago's for local radio.
For local radio. Chicago is incredibly active with.
Chicago is one of the best local radio markets in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just too bad that you can't go to college and get a degree to do that at Columbia. Yeah. So take that, Columbia.
Yes.
Well, we are rapidly running out of time. This has been a short. Mm-hmm. But fascinating show. Our thanks to Jack and Jen for hanging out with us.
And they're at jackandjimmusic.com. Next week, we think we'll be starting 10:30. We'll be waiting in the wings just in case they want to toss it to us a little earlier, a little later. But you be here.
And we will introduce you to Tracy Mick. Also next week, Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide, will be joining us.
Tom's fans have been texting tonight wondering where he is.
And our thanks to everybody for helping us through the night tonight, to Adam Phillips back in Chicago, to Gabe and Julian and Brett, and down here to Tom Hoots and Becca, with an E at the end of her name.
Yep.
And you can follow us. We'd like it if you would check out our blog. Go to, where is it? It's right here. It's StephenJohnny.wordpress.com and YouTube.com/StephenJohnnyShow.
And real quick, we do not sell your address. We do not spam you. The only time you hear from us is when we have posted something. So don't get nervous about signing up to be a follower.
Stay safe. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.